Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music, and what a blessing it's already been just being in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Romans in chapter 10, Romans in chapter 10, we'll be reading verse 9 down to verse 17. Romans chapter 10. This is the end of our Faith Promise Missions Month and New Testament missions. What a blessing it is when we fully understand God's plan for New Testament missions. So if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, it is a blessing to be in this place and to sense your presence here. Thank you for what we've already received. But now as we focus on your word, that which you have written down and preserved for us to know the very mind of God, I pray, God, that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. I ask that you would use me to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. New Testament missions. The Way of Life Encyclopedia of the Bible gives a definition of missions. It says, the work of the church in and to the world, the proclamation of the gospel being the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the proclamation of the gospel and church planting. You see, missions is all about people, all people, being saved. Amen. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to faith and belief in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. All people, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, not going to go to a devil's hell, but have everlasting life. John 3:16, I mean, it helps describe it all. God did everything he can do for humanity to keep humanity from following a devil into a devil's hell for an eternity. And his desire in that he even gave his only begotten Son, he sacrificed his only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross so that no one would have an excuse and that everyone would have an opportunity to be saved. What a blessing that is. Missions is all about people around the world having an opportunity to be saved. Amen. The Great Commission, and as Mark records it in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, is what Jesus instructed his disciples in the church, this New Testament church, to do. He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." It's pretty simple. That's God's will for every church. That's God's will for every born-again believer to have a part in and doing what God has called us to do as believers, tell somebody else. Amen. Go into all the world so that mankind would be without excuse, that they would have an opportunity to simply believe and to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. In Romans in chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, as we've just read this, it reveals very clearly, there is no question that this is what the Bible says that a person must do and how they are to come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. It's God's plan. Verses 14 and 15 reveals how it is to be accomplished. Verse 14 and 15. If you would read those, listen to this word, how. Look at what the Bible says. How then shall they, whosoever, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And here again, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And again in verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And so we find here not only verses 9 through 13 reveals very clearly God's plan of salvation, but verse 14 and 15 is all about missions. It's telling us how it's to be accomplished. So that every person in this world would have an opportunity to be saved. How is it going to be accomplished? The very first thing that we reveal here as far as what needs to be done, we'll go to the end in verse 15. And it says, how shall they preach except they be sent? How shall the preaching of the Word of God come to people around the world unless somehow, some way, someone is sent to do that? They need to be sent. Leading up to anyone being saved, someone has to be sent. If you think about it, if you're saved here this morning, somebody brought the Word of God to your understanding. They brought it to you. They read the Bible to you. They said, this is what a person must do to be saved. And you believe that, and you called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if that person have not been sent, if they did not have the gospel to present to you, then you would not have been saved. And so bottom line is, in order to obey the Great Commission, in order to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish, to see everyone on this planet Earth have an opportunity to be saved, someone has to send them. Can I tell you, this is the main responsibility of the New Testament church. If it's a true church, if it's a church that looks to Jesus Christ to be obedient to what God, Jesus Christ, established the church to do, then that church has to be aware of the need to send someone to the world. Jesus established his church with this purpose in view. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because I know the last message that he gave to us before he left. And you can understand it by understanding the Great Commission. Before he left, the very last message that Jesus gave to the disciples, who was his church that he established so that they might continue with his church and continue to see New Testament churches established. And that not only for that first century, but for now it's been for 21 centuries, the New Testament churches have been establishing other New Testament churches. And that's the Great Commission, to go ye into all the world. It's not just for the United States of America to have churches, but it's for every city around the world and all people of the world to have an opportunity to hear the gospel. If they're going to have an opportunity to hear the gospel, then someone has to be sent to tell them. And that is the responsibility of the New Testament church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel is the Great Commission. You see, the church's part is to disciple believers to be witnesses. Amen. The book of Acts in chapter 1, here again, this is what Jesus, before his ascension, this is what he met with the apostles and he instructed them on this work of the church. And he says in Acts in chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, this is right before he would ascend up to glory, he says this. But ye, talking to church members, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be, right here it is, witnesses. Now, a witness is just to report on what they saw or what they experienced. If you're a witness, that means that you saw it, you experienced it, and you're just going to tell somebody else. You're going to witness. You're a witness to what you saw or what you experienced so that somebody else can know about what you experienced. Amen. A witness. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That means you first of all start to be a witness in your own home. And then you're a witness in your own neighborhood. And then you're a witness to your job site. You're a witness to wherever you go. And then you get involved in other people being sent to witness places you can't go to. That's missionaries. And you support missionaries so that you can have a part in doing what God has given us all to do, and that is unto the uttermost part of the earth, so that all people will have an opportunity to receive Christ. And then the Bible says this, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he, Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. It was his last message. And it was to continue until he returns in the clouds and calls his church up. As he went up into glory, we find that he will come back and is called the rapture, and he will call the church, which is made up of individual believers, and every person that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ during this time that is still alive at that time will be caught up. And those that died before that time in these 21st centuries that have lived their life for Christ, got saved and died, then they will be called up out of the graves, amen? And they at that time will all receive a glorified body. That's just what the Bible teaches. Yeah. So the church's part is to disciple believers, those that have received Jesus Christ, to be witnesses. If you have been saved, you have the information that any and every lost person needs more than anything else. More than money, more than food, more than water, more than anything else, they need to become a child of God's. Because once they become a child of God's, then you're born again into the family of God, and now you have a heavenly Father that knows your need, and he loves you enough to want to meet your need as long as you are obedient to him. Amen. More than anything else in this world, everyone needs God as their heavenly Father. And when you leave this world, if you've been saved, then you're going to go to a place prepared by the Lord for you, and it's called a place of heaven. Wow. What a great understanding of missions. The second thing the church is to do is to keep outreach in the forefront as the main thing. Can I tell you that a lot of New Testament churches today are losing sight of that? The reason that Jesus established his church is for the church to be a witness to the world. So that the whole world might hear and know and believe in Christ. And yet today we've lost sight of that. In most churches, the main thing is entertainment. Most churches is to tickle the ear of whoever comes to the doors. Most churches is to ask you what you want and provide what you want. That is not the way Jesus established his church. Jesus established his church to represent him and to represent his teachings and to represent his doctrine and to represent the commission that he has given to his church to continue throughout this New Testament church age. And that is the Great Commission, that is missions and reaching the world with the gospel. To keep the outreach in the forefront as the main thing, soul winning. Soul winning. Right here in Indianapolis, praise the Lord for every soul winning church in this area that goes out with the intent of taking the gospel to a lost and dying city of Indianapolis. We knock on doors and talk to people that have never heard a clear presentation of salvation. You talk to them, well, I'm going to do you know where you're going to go when you die and you leave this earth? Well, I'm going to heaven. How do you know that? What do you base that on? Well, I'm a good person. That's not Bible. No, what did the Bible say? What did we just read? Salvation is very clear. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart, it's got to come take place inside of you. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, if you're truly saved, shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference when the Jew nor the Greek, and the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say whosoever is a good person. It doesn't say whosoever does a lot of good works. It says whosoever shall realize you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell, and you understand that Jesus Christ is the only hope that you have for eternal life, and you of your own free will, of your own volition, call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. They've never heard that. Because the church that they're going to just tells them just to be a good person. Be better than the next person. And if you're better than somebody else, then and when you get to the end of your life, God will weigh the balances. And if your good outweighs your bad, then you'll go to heaven. That's not the message that the Bible teaches. That's not the message that Jesus Christ established. Well, I believe I'm going to heaven because I'm a member of the church. No membership can get you to heaven. Now, I believe once you get saved, you will want to find a church to go to because Jesus established his church and the purpose of the church. But the church membership will not get you to heaven. Well, I've given a lot of money. No amount of money can get you to heaven. If money got you to heaven, then Jesus paid our sin debt and died in vain. He understood that was the only way. And that's why he suffered and bled and died on Calvary's cross, because it was the only way for someone to get saved. Need to keep soul winning, world missions in view. We can't be so self-centered that as long as we, ours, and our congregation saved and going to heaven, we're fine. Now, the church was never intended to be a social club. We're only members only. No, that's not it. That's not it. God says, for God so loved the world. And he loved us. And we need to understand that he loves everybody in the world. And so we're going to do everything we can to give the whole world an opportunity to experience the love of God. Missions, world missions, going to all the world. Starting right here in Indianapolis. Bus ministries. I don't see how a church can call themselves a true church without reaching children, without having a soul-winning outreach ministry, without not only reaching children, but reaching youth and reaching those inner city people who have no place to call home, and they go to the missions to just to find food and shelter And praise God that we have a ministry to the mission home. We have a ministry to nursing homes. We have ministries to everyone that we can think of. We have a desire to see them saved. And through the church, we have these ministries established. Why? So that souls can hear and have an opportunity to be saved. Yeah. How shall they preach except they be sent? In order for them to preach, they have to be sent. And when they are sent to preach. Now, I believe in helping people with needs, food, water, shelter. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. But that's not their greatest need. Amen. Because that'll run out. The thought that is a great thought. You give a person a fish and they have a meal. You teach a person how to fish and they can live on that understanding of how to feed themselves by catching more fish. Amen. Helping somebody, praise the Lord. But if it just gets them through a period of time, just over a day, if it just prolongs what's going to eventually take place, because you cannot sustain anybody else indefinitely. But when you turn them over to Christ and you teach them to get saved, and they then, once they get saved, have God as their Heavenly Father, they have somebody who can sustain them for life. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah, salvation. We send them to preach. Why I preach? So that people might understand the Bible. You don't hear me going off on a lot of stories and a lot of different things, a lot of politics, nothing, because what you need more than anything else is what this Bible has to say. And I'm going to preach this Bible. When you come to church, you don't need to find out what the latest history on the sports was and who did this and who did that. I'm not going to get up here and tell you that. I enjoy listening myself and outside, but the most important thing we do when we come together as a church is we look to God and we preach His Word so people might understand the Bible. Amen. We have a TV ministry, and I've had a lot of ribbing, a lot of remarks about that. But can I tell you, through the TV ministry, they're hearing the preaching of the Word of God. And through our TV ministry, at any given Sunday, we can go into over 1,000. We already have been into over 1,000 homes. 1,000 homes every Sunday. Amen. The opportunity. And we've had gone beyond that in some. They have a record of knowing how that's happening. Praise the Lord for that. That means that 1,000 homes hear the gospel preached. As you are assembled here and hearing it preached, they're hearing it preached from their tongue. Praise the Lord for that. It gets the truth out. Our desire for people to hear the preaching. They have to be sought. They have to be sent. They have to be sent. And then how shall they hear without a preacher? Who is a preacher? What I'm doing right now is preaching, but there's all of us in here are preachers to a certain extent. I didn't say everyone in here is a pastor, you know. But a preacher is someone who proclaims or delivers a message. A witness is a preacher. They proclaim what they witnessed. They deliver a message concerning what they've experienced. Every church member's responsibility is to preach or be a witness. John chapter 4. Look back there with me. John chapter 4. Jesus went through Samaria, and he met a woman at the well, Samaritan, which Jews didn't talk to the Samaritans. But he had to go through there to give an example that there is nobody that we should not try to reach. God is no respecter of persons. And when he went through at the woman at the well, when he went through Samaria, he found the woman at the well, and he presented to her the gospel. When she got saved, once she understood that Jesus was the Messiah, in John chapter 4 and verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" What did she do? She witnessed the Savior speaking to her and telling her who he was and telling her that she could have everlasting water, which is everlasting life. And she received that. And the first thing that she wanted to do is to be a witness. The first thing she wanted to do is to take that message, and she preached it to everyone she knew. And the Bible says right down verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Amen. That woman at the well is every member of this church. When you got saved and you got baptized, your baptism brought you into membership of this church. And what you ought to do, as well as every other member, is to go to wherever you live. Go to your city, go to your family, go to your neighborhood, go to your work, go to your schools, and just simply be a witness. That's missions. That's what God would have us to do. And it's nothing new. It's been taking place through the true church for some 2,000 years. So that no one's with an excuse. You're without excuse. Because you have the message. The lost need to hear. The lost need to hear that message of Christ. As you do this, look what he says about those who take this. How shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. It pleases God. That's what he's talking about there. Feet are not beautiful. Amen? Especially old people's feet. Now, babies' feet, you know, it's fun to kiss on those. They're cute. Yeah, they're beautiful. Look at old people's feet. And you think, anything but beautiful. I guarantee you. That's why we cover them up. Amen. It's scary, some of you, to see some of our feet. Amen. Yeah. It's not talking about the looks of your feet. It's talking about what you're doing. It's talking about where you're going. What you have yielded yourself to become, a witness, and using your feet to take you to tell people. God says, that's beautiful. That's my plan. That's what I want you to do. Beautiful are the feet where you're allowing those feet to take you. Preach the gospel, taking that witness, being that witness. Wow. As we go, we understand people need to be sent so that people can hear. And the people need to hear in order for them to make decisions. When we go and we bring people into this church, can I tell you right now, in this congregation right now, I know that there's many lost right here this morning. There's many in this congregation listening to the preaching of the Word of God that are right now questioning, what is this salvation? What is the Bible teaching us? What is this preacher preaching on? What's going on? And can I tell you, it's important that they hear. Amen. If you don't do anything else, it's important for you to set a good example of listening to the Word of God when the Word of God is being preached. If you have visitors come to this church or lost people come to this church and they see everybody else is getting up and moving around talking and not paying any attention at all to the preaching of the Word of God, then that sets a message to them, but it must not be important. But if they come into this church and they find a congregation of people that are understanding the importance of the preaching of the Word and they're listening intently to what is being preached, they'll say, whoa, it must be important to listen. People are not making fun and joking and running up and down the aisles and distracting away from the Word of God being preached. And that's something all of us can do. Amen. Be a witness once people come to the church. Welcome people into the church, into this church to hear the gospel by saying, thank you for coming. My name's so-and-so. What's your name? Yeah, take my pew if you need it. If you want to sit here, I'll move. Take this pew instead of getting upset with somebody for taking your pew. Amen? Being a witness. Be thankful that we have people coming in through the doors, no matter what they look like, no matter how they're dressed. Amen. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to get under the preaching of the word so that they might hear. Because they can't get saved unless they hear. Amen. We want to encourage them to listen, to hear. And then once we've done that, sent, preach, help people to understand, to hear. Two things that everybody must do for themselves. Two things. Things that we cannot do for anyone else, neither will we give an account for what they do. But the Bible says, how shall they believe? Now, they can't believe unless they've heard. But once they hear, that's as far as we can go. Once we are sent and we go and we preach and we present exactly what the Bible says, that and we are an example to them in understanding things, but we cannot go beyond that. We are, have not been instructed to win, to save anybody. This pastor has never saved anybody. But I have witnessed to a lot of people. A lot of people have heard the truth through my witness, and I trust through your witness. And that's as far as we can go. But for that person that hears, they have to believe. After they have heard, they must, of their own volition, believe. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For the scripture saith in verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that there was a need for him to die for you? That you are a sinner, lost, and on your way to a devil's hell? That's what you got to believe. Because that's the gospel. The purpose for Christ going to the cross. The death. The burial. And then the resurrection. It's up to you to believe. It's up to you to take what you've heard and believe it. The Bible says in verse 16, but they have not all but obeyed. But they have not obeyed the gospel. Just like Isaiah said, he prophesied, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing. That's the only way that you can have faith is to hear it. But if you continue to hear it over and over again, the more you're under the preaching of the Word of God, the more you're under the reading of the Word of God, the best chance you have to develop faith to believe it. Yeah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then one final step. You say, all I have to do is believe. I believe I'm saved. No, that's not true. According to the Bible, how shall they call on him? See, he's given it every step of it. How shall they preach unless they be sent? So they have to be sent. They have to preach. They have to hear. And once they have heard, now it's up to them to believe. And finally, call on him. In James, in chapter 2 and verse 9, it says this, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, but not good enough. For the devils also believe and tremble. Satan knows there's a God. The devils know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of all humanity, all mankind. The devils know that, and they're not saved. Because even though they know it, they've failed to do the last thing you must do to be saved. Need to call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call, everything else leading up to that point. You have to have all the other leading up to that point. But the final step of salvation is for an individual to call. You must ask. A personal request. You must know what has taken place. You must be told and understand the situation. I'm lost, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, or not through anybody else, but only through Jesus Christ, and it's eternal life. I'll never die if I receive Christ as my Savior, because when this physical body ceases to function, my spirit to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and I'll never experience death. But I have to ask. A personal experience, a one-on-one with God, realizing who I am, understanding who He is and what He did for me, and then saying, Lord, I want You. I need You. And the best I know how, I ask You to save me. If that's you, if you can go back to a time in your life when all this led up to you yourself having an opportunity, you understood why you needed a Savior, you understood you were lost and on your way to a devil's hell, and you come to that place in your own mind, in your own heart, and you said, Lord, I want salvation, and I ask You to forgive me of my sins, to come into my heart, and to save my soul. At that moment, at that instant, you were given. Can't work for it. You were given everlasting, eternal life. Amen. Simply because you called personally, one-on-one, you called on the name of the Lord to be saved. Amen. Missions. That's what it's all about. Are you saved? And if you are saved, are you involved as God would have you to be involved in seeing other people saved? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed, the first thing you have to ask yourself, God's plan for people being saved. Has there been a time in your life that plan came to you, and you, first of all, believed, and second of all, asked. You know you asked. You know you called. If you don't know that, salvation is too important. Heaven and hell is real. You must know you've done what God says a person must do to be saved. Don't leave this place today without having assurance of a know-so salvation. In just a few minutes, we're going to give an invitation. Some's already come right now. But we're going to sing an invitation song, and as we sing, we invite you to make that decision. If you have need, there'll be an altar worker that can help you with the very words of God. And you can leave here this morning knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt to be absent from the body means that you'll be present with the Lord. Father, we bow before You now. We love You. Thank You for the truth of Your word and understanding salvation and missions. I pray, God, that there would not be a person leave here today without knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that heaven is going to be their eternal resting place. I pray, God, that You'd work in our midst now. In Jesus' name, amen.